Welcome to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast, the program where business and industry connect to share topics and ideas that move the world's energy. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.
Hey everybody, it's Jeremy Osterberger with BIC Magazine. I'm joined by Dick Westney, Director of RMW Consulting. And Dick is also the founding partner of Westney Consulting Group, which was acquired by McKinsey & Company several years ago. Dick's going to be leading the sponsor-only strategic session during the upcoming ECC Perspectives Conference in late August. Dick, we appreciate you jumping on. How are you?
Doing great. Glad to be here.
So, Dick, the ECC Conference is going to be at the JW Marriott in Marco Island, Florida. Have you ever been?
I've never been to Marco Island. Looking forward to that. Might be a little hot in the summertime, but I'm sure we'll have a great time anyway.
Man, I'll see you at the beach, Dick. We'll be there, Dick. All right, man. So let's jump into the conference and what attendees can expect from the conference in more detail. So a little bit, Dick, about your background. For the past 40 years or so, you've done consulting, enabling leaders in the energy sector to get the best results possible from capital projects. That's what you're all about. But Dick, your message for the engineering construction community right now is about a new urgency. Let's tell us about that. What are your thoughts on this new urgency that you speak of?
Well, you know, I've been in the engineering construction energy sector for about 50 years now. And I have to say, this may be the most exciting time, and there have been many exciting times, but this is the most exciting time, a time of genuine transition, and it's all associated with the energy transition that we're seeing today. We've all heard about the race to net zero, and we've all heard about sustainability, and what we're seeing are some really dramatic changes. I saw an analysis the other day from the International Energy Association that pointed out that the actual investment, the CapEx investment globally this year will in clean energy will be two-thirds higher, about 65% higher than that of fossil fuels. This is a trend that's been going on for the past five or 6 years, and the gap is just getting greater every year. So this transition is real. And it has meant profound changes for those of us that develop and deliver projects. It's almost a time of real transformation in almost every aspect of our business.
So, Dick, certainly we'll dig into some of the topics that you'll cover at the upcoming ECC sponsor-only session. But digging into your background a little bit more, you were with Exxon for years. Tell us a little bit more about kind of what you worked on in your past to give some framework around your experience.
Sure. So I spent almost a decade working in Exxon's project management. This was quite a while ago, back in the 70s. And that was an exciting time because it was really the beginning of deep water offshore oil and gas production. And I had the opportunity of working in the deep water North Sea offshore developments in the 70s. Of course, our idea of deep water then, the far cry from what it is now. But that experience and the need to develop new ways of planning, estimating, and managing and executing major projects in the oil and gas sector is what gave me the idea that I might like to try consulting in that area and working with across the industry with owners, contractors, suppliers, fabricators, in how they could actually adapt the very latest methods and computer technologies to improve the projects.
No, that's great. Thanks for a little bit of that background to kind of understand where your perspective is coming from. So look, with a 50-year foundation, the ECC, which is the Association for the Capital Projects Engineering and Construction Community, continues to deliver some incredible speakers, engaging sessions, networking opportunities. I've been going to the conference for probably 10 years or so now. And look, the conference topics to me are always trying to stay on top of the latest topics, thought leadership and trying to get some discussions that really shape and change the way the engineering and construction community is operating. But, you know, Dick, with the pace and the scope of investment in the energy transition increasing, established players in the energy sector are seeing their project portfolios change, you know, dramatically, right? Wow. Talk about your session, and can you give us a quick overview of what attendees should get out of that session?
Well, I think this is going to be a timely and a really exciting session for everybody. It's important to realize that the sponsor-only session, which of course include owners, operators, contractors, technology solution providers, suppliers of all types, this is a particularly interesting session because this allows people to actually collaborate and work together. It's a very interactive working session type of things. We will have two panels. The first will talk about the challenges the industry is facing. The second will talk about some of the solutions that our industry is providing. But the real emphasis is on the part which is the breakout sessions, the roundtable sessions, where we will have about 8 or 9 people with diverse backgrounds and roles in the industry working on different aspects of the solutions, so that we can all learn from each other as to what's working, what isn't working, what are the challenges we're facing in each of these different areas that we're facing. The results are then captured and published for the participants. And I think everybody always finds this a very valuable thing for discussion at their own companies after they get back and they start planning, what do we do next?
That's right, Dick. So your session is going to be August 30th from 1 to 5. And of course, the conference goes on from August 30th to September 2nd. So Dick, digging into our topic, you know, what do these changes in project portfolios mean, you know, for owner operators, for technology providers, and of course, for many of our attendees, not only the owner operators, but also all the EPC engineering and construction contractors that will be a part of this. What does it mean for these guys?
Well, It means that everything that we've sort of taken for granted, you know, over the years is somewhat different now. So, for example, if I'm an owner company, maybe I'm an oil and gas company, I might suddenly find that more and more of my portfolio investment is going towards other types of energy, carbon capture, utilization, and storage. CCUS, for example, is a huge thing. Even direct air capture is a huge thing. These things, if there's any hope of net zero, and granted, there is certainly a lot of debate about that, but the race is on. That part is indisputable. And so all of these things require massive investments, and that means scaling up technologies that are both those examples, CCUS and direct air capture, DAC. These are maybe not mysterious, but certainly they are new when done at this kind of massive scale. And that also means then that project economics are different. You know, how do you make money from doing this as opposed to selling oil and gas, for example? And who are the people that are investing in this? And what are their expectations? What are their, what's their risk appetite, so to speak? And what kind of service models will, if I were a contractor, a supplier, are there new types of service models that are now required as perhaps we work together to develop these technologies and scale them up, share the risks and reward as we go along? So I think this is not maybe totally uncharted waters, but certainly it's a kind of an exploration in how we go about addressing these new portfolios. And on top of that, as you start to look at things like even wind, which is reasonably well established, well, now we're starting to see much more offshore wind. I saw there was an article in the paper today about Martha's Vineyard, of all places, a huge wind installation, deep water. You'll barely be able to see it from there, going in there. And the article in today's Wall Street Journal talked about that and the challenges that that are being faced by the developers of that. So from there, you go to floating offshore wind. So, I mean, even in things that appear to be well-established, there are new frontiers, new technologies, new execution models and engineering solutions to be developed.
Yeah, to your point, Dick, what I like is even just attending ECC, seeing different names, right, as we rotate into renewable diesel projects, or there's new names, right, new partners, food and beverage partners, and as I've seen more advanced technology, semiconductor partners, right, your Metas, your Samsungs is interesting because there's different perspectives. I never saw someone from Amazon, you know, AWS at events, right, and so there's some different names now that are playing into the energy spectrum that perhaps weren't participants, you know, even 5-6 years ago.
Exactly. It's hard to imagine actually a sector that's not in some ways affected by the energy transition. I was talking to somebody from Amazon the other day. They have an entire Amazon Energy Systems, I think it's called, group that is focused entirely on meeting their needs in a clean energy way. So that's what makes it really fascinating. There's so many stakeholders and so many new players and trying to do the right thing around green clean energy.
And Dick, some of this is covered in your new book. I want to give you a second to talk about that. What's the focus of this piece you just finished?
Well, I thought it was fascinating as I was working on other aspects of sustainability to think about what project managers and teams are facing in today's world as part of this transition to clean energy. You know, my work for my entire career has been around project managers and teams, either being that myself or supporting role. And the idea that all of a sudden we have something like ESG, which is a corporate commitment for many of the companies, and if not most involved in the green energy, the energy transition. We have to look at environmental in a different way. This is not something new for project teams, but the way it's looked at and the way it's reported and the stakeholders and the expectations they have are certainly different from they may have been years ago. It's a more complicated aspect of project management. And when you look at the S, the social piece of it, actually projects with the tens of thousands, or depending on how you calculate it, even millions of people that are involved in energy projects around the world, there's a great opportunity to do some very good things in support of giving people opportunities that they may not otherwise have had, giving people training, skills acquisition that they may not have been able to get before. So it's quite exciting and somewhat overlooked up to this point aspect of project management. And of course, G, governance, this is what we're all about in project management: metrics, reporting, accountability. We know about G, and the G is very important, of course, so that we make sure we meet these environmental and social goals. So I came out with this book, which is similar to one I wrote. It's my sixth book, actually. It's similar to one I wrote 20 years ago about strategic planning, developing an execution plan, which is a workbook that takes people through a process. So it's called the ESG Planning Guide for Energy Projects, a step-by-step process for project managers and teams to achieve environmental, social, and governance goals. And I'm certainly have very good comments so far that it takes a complicated subject and makes it very practical and applied tool for project teams to use.
Excellent. No, well, thanks for mentioning that. And our audience will take a peek at your published material and see if it's a resource for them as well. So Dick, how are the measures of project success changing, right? As a wider range of non-financial stakeholders become engaged, a greater emphasis is placed on, you know, ESG, environmental and social goals. You know, can you address that a little bit? How are the measures of project success changing?
Well, yes, I think they're changing quite a bit. You know, if you look at the sort of the arc of our history over the past several decades in capital projects, you know, certainly there's always been a strong emphasis on cost performance, scheduled performance, meeting quality objectives, and so forth. And it's hard to remember a time like this, but there was a time when safety didn't have nearly the emphasis that it's had in the past several decades. And that was a real transformation to where as that occurred, we suddenly realized that this is a primary key performance indicator, if you want to call it that, a measure of performance. It's a primary priority, along with cost, schedule, operability, and so forth. And so the industry has changed over time to be responsive to demands on our work for capital projects, both the work we do in engineering construction and how the facility itself operates once it's completed. Now we see yet another step change in that, to where we have more high priority metrics and goals that, yeah, they were there before, just like safety was always there, but it took on a whole new level of importance. So too now, things like environmental, social, progress to net zero, sustainability, which is actually an even much broader topic defined by the UN's 17 sustainability development goals. Projects now play a big role in that. The interesting thing is that the energy industry is sort of both a cause and a solution of the global warming challenge. And so it's imperative that we on the project side recognize our role in that. So I think we're already starting to see projects having more emphasis on substantive reporting about what is our project contributing to our company's overall global footprint, for example. You see a lot of changes in the construction industry towards, you might say, clean energy construction techniques, more efficient use of diesel generators on site. There are some examples of electric construction cranes, right, where the electricity is provided by renewable energy. We're seeing this in a big way in the UK, for example. So this is still changing, but as these metrics change, the way we deliver our methodologies, our work processes also need to change. And so that's why we call this session the energy transition is leading to an actual industry transformation. It's all being driven by the new expectations of how we perform our work.
And Dick, so we'll wrap up our discussion in a moment here. I wanted to ask one other question, and that is, you know, so much discussions around, you know, human resources as well as, you know, material resources. We've seen unbelievable supply chain challenges. Some of that has leveled out here in the last couple of years. Still some challenges with electronics and some things that are needed to execute some of these projects. But where will new sources of human and material resources be found, you know, and how will geopolitical and regulatory risks, you know, be addressed? Kind of two things packaged in there, but talk a little bit about that human yeah, requirement as well as materials.
Yeah, well, for sure, this is a huge topic, and we'll certainly, both of these are, in fact, we'll be spending a good deal of time in our session talking about both of these. The first one, of course, you read a lot about. I recently saw a survey of young people between the ages of 15 and 30 years old, and it showed that 65% of them said they would definitely or probably not consider working in the construction industry. Now, combine that with the need for literally millions of new construction workers, not only for the expanding green energy portfolio, but also with retirements and turnover and that sort of thing. So that is a huge challenge. And of course, that's no news to people who are working in the industry today dealing with those issues. But it's a global challenge. And similarly, though, for the time being, the some of the trends we were seeing around material shortages have ameliorated somewhat. But when you start to look at the requirements for basic materials and engineered materials to support, I mean, if you imagine 10 times the number of wind turbines that we have now, and what that means to the critical supplies of materials there, to manufacturing and fabricating yards. All of a sudden now you have these different types of energy projects competing for the same resources, which they didn't have to do before. And you mentioned also the subject of risks. I think this is another thing that we will talk a lot about in our session. You know, our classic approach to projects is that we have our internal project risks that we manage, design changes, field changes, productivity risks, and those kinds of things, quantity and pricing risks. And we have, you know, long history of assessing those risks, providing for them in the budget and managing them. now you, and we always thought that, you know, when you get to the final investment decision, if you've done front-end loading the right way, you've probably mitigated the big risks, and now they're just some execution risks. We live in a world now where you could have a project where you've had great definition, great planning, perfect definition at front end, at the final investment decision. Now you're in the middle of construction, and all of a sudden, one of these external risks appears to bring the project to a halt. They can be regulatory risks, geopolitical risks, supply chain risks that we've just been talking about. We've certainly seen plenty of things in the last few years to remind us that the idea that black swans maybe are things that happen to somebody else are, no, they are flying above us quite a bit these days. How exactly do we account for this in our planning and our budgeting and our risk management methods? I'm not sure we all know the answer yet, but it's an important thing, and we'll certainly be discussing that as well.
Well, Dick, thanks for spending some time with us. Certainly, I want to definitely extend the invitation to more owner-operators, anyone in project leadership. Sounds like they would benefit from this session specifically, and certainly more at the ECC can benefit owner-operators that want to see some value from a conference. And I just thank you so much, Dick, for joining us today. If someone wanted to get plugged in with you, Dick, how do they go about it? How can they learn more about what your group brings to the table?
I think the easiest thing is just shoot me an email, Dick Westney, DickWestney @gmail.com. And I'd be more than delighted to dialogue with you and see what we can learn from each other.
Well, Dick, thanks for coming on with us today. Appreciate your insight. Looking forward to seeing you at the conference. And for anyone watching or listening today and wants to learn more about the upcoming ECC Perspectives Conference, August 30th through September 2nd in Marco Island, Florida, visit ecc-conference.org. We're going to also include the link to the URL to the webpage here in our caption of this video. Of course, always looking forward to it. Dick, again, thank you so much for having us on. And for our audience listening, if you're interested in more videos, podcasts, news, and articles, please visit BICmagazine.com. Remember, everyone, it's what we do together that counts.
Thank you for listening to BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast. Log on to BICmagazine.com for industry news and resources. BIC Magazine's Inside Industry Podcast is brought to you by the BIC Alliance. BIC Alliance and its sister companies, BIC Magazine, BIC Recruiting, and IVS Investment Banking, help industrial businesses grow through marketing and sales, hiring the right people, and merger and acquisition services. Visit BICalliance.com for more information.